Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Brantley Basinger with Mallory and Evans. Welcome.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate you having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell me about Mallory and Evans. Who are you serving? What are you up to?
Yeah. So Mallory and Evans is a family-owned and operated company. We were founded in 1956 by Lewis Mallory and Bill Evans. And John Dixon Sr. actually ended up taking 100% of the control of the company, I guess, I want to say in the mid-70s. We were founded as a commercial mechanical contractor. But really, for the last 40 years, we've been in the development and construction business. We still have the mechanical business, but, our main focus is really on development and construction.
So now, what are some examples of some of the development that you've been up to?
Well, I mean, for my role, we have mostly done multifamily, student housing, starting to do some co-living. So a lot in the housing space. However, at the same time, we're starting to diversify into other platforms and in different industries. But as a whole, the Mallory and Evans umbrella has been, they were in the aviation business for almost a decade, did over, $2 billion worth of aviation work, across the globe, really. We've got a really rich history and some pretty big platforms. We're trying to grow the one that we've got, now in the housing space and others.
Now, so how does that work? Like in the aviation business, so you would partner with like a government or a city that says, hey, we want to build an airport. And then together you would figure out like where to do it and how to do it.
Well, the niche that that business had was really in the air cargo space. So, someone like LAX or Hartsfield or Delta or one of the big carriers would say, hey, we need a better air cargo handling facility. And so we would basically do a design build for those guys and lease it back to them, typically on, sometimes on private property, but sometimes on a Port Authority property, which, again, is complicated. That gets a little complicated. But, we're still in that business. That's not exactly what I do on a day-to-day basis, but it's a nice business to have, for the team here.
Now, how did you kind of get involved in this? I guess it's Caliber Living is this project you're working on, or that's another company that's affiliated with you?
Yeah, Caliber Living is a subsidiary. It's our management company that we started. We started Caliber so that we could essentially oversee, be an owner and operator of our projects. At the end of the day, the way we think about it is, no one's going to look after your assets and your investments better than you. And so we thought it was prudent to start our own management company. Right now, Caliber only manages really our assets. We've got some friends and family, third party. But right now we're focused on managing our assets, and we'll see where that company goes in the future. We've talked about trying to grow it into a third party platform as well, but, we haven't done that yet.
So then how does a project evolve? Do you decide, hey, we should build this kind of a residential community on this location? You get the funding, you build it out, and then you manage it like soup to nuts, like from, it's a turnkey kind of operation.
We're completely vertically integrated. So, my primary role here is to oversee our development acquisition platform. And so when we go out and either someone sends us deals or we find deals, and we take it from dirt to a finished product, and then we manage that project. We find the debt, we find the equity. We have very good banking relationships, and we have very good equity relationships, institutional equity relationships. And, you know, that's another part of the business that, you know, me and my partners have to focus on is, you know, growing those relationships, you know, with institutional equity providers and looking after and looking at new platforms to go into and all that. So, you know, it's never boring. And there's always challenges, especially in a year like 2020, but, you know, we find a way to get through them.
Now you mentioned the term co-living. Can you explain what that is and how you guys are able to kind of tap into that trend?
Yeah. So co-living to us is more of a sense of community. And so, you know, we've been in student housing for a while. So we focused, a lot of our focus has been on student housing for the last several years. And so we kind of saw this, and then you've heard the buzzwords co-living, and a lot of the co-living communities have been in real dense, you know, metropolitan areas like in New York, Manhattan's, you know, San Francisco, Seattle's. And so we said, you know, there's some legitimacy to this and some validity. Why don't we, you know, start to look into how we could basically create a hybrid between, you know, a student housing community that is rent by the bed, where people, you know, rent a bedroom in an apartment, and your conventional apartment complex where you have to rent the whole unit. And the way we look at co-living is, you know, there's this sense of community. We're essentially trying to appeal to a young professional demographic that is used to student housing, that gets out into the real world, that's not sure they want to go rent their own apartment by themselves or split bills and do all that. And so the way we look at it is, you know, let's bring the two together, create this hybrid and do a rent by the bed, bring all of the conveniences that we bring to a student housing community, like, you know, internet and Wi-Fi and utilities and cable. They don't have to set up any of this stuff. It's already there. It's provided. We bill it back to you. So it's all nice, one simple bill. And then you can rent a bed instead of renting an entire unit, and you share the common space. So, you know, it's a very young industry. It reminds me of student housing, you know, 15 years ago. And we're all trying to figure it out, but it's been well received. We're finishing up a deal in Knoxville right now that is co-living. And we expect to have students. We expect to have young professionals. We expect to have graduate students. We're getting a lot of traveling nurses. So it's an interesting concept, and we're embracing it.
Now, like you mentioned, that I guess the genesis of it was kind of by necessity in these very expensive areas. People had to kind of pool their resources in order to live in the place or in the location that they wanted to live in. And you're just trying to make it more efficient, I guess, for them to be able to do that rather than, you know, go on Craigslist and hope they get the right fit. How are you ensuring kind of some of this, like in business, they would call it a culture fit, but in terms of, you know, if I'm going to rent a bed, I don't want to, you know, if I'm there to work and just, I'm not a party guy, I don't want to be next door to the party guy. You know, I don't want the frat house life. I want, you know, I'm a professional.
Great question. So, I mean, obviously there's software. We have a software. I mean, obviously we don't want to put anyone with the wrong person. Right. And you know, when we're roommate matching, there are softwares out there that do a lot of the hard work for us. And we typically like to introduce the person that we're roommate matching to the person that's already there or that may be coming in at the same time. You know, social media goes a long way these days for that, because people can kind of look up each other. They can reach out to each other. Is it a perfect process? No. You know, there are times when it just doesn't work. And if it doesn't, we try to move people around or help any way we can. But I mean, overall, you know, the demographic that we are, you know, targeting and catering to is used to this because they've been doing it for, you know, the last 15, 20 years in the student housing side. And, you know, when they were students, they were always, you know, getting a new roommate. And so for us who aren't used to that kind of thing, we think, well, my gosh, what if I get paired with somebody? Well, I mean, most of our, you know, our tenants and in the community is used to it.
And it's for the people that are comfortable with that. Like if you're the person that likes alone time and privacy, this may not be the right thing for you, unless your match is exactly like you. But if you're social and like the interaction and things like that, this might be a perfect fit for you. That you always have a companion. There's always activity happening.
No doubt. And there's a so I've got a perfect example. I've got a we've got a couple young guys that work for us. One moved from North Carolina, and he went, you know, he went to Buckhead and rented an apartment, you know, one bedroom, and it's expensive. It's he's got to pay for his apartment. Then he's got to pay a separate utility bill. He's got to set up the, you know, his cable. He's got to set up his, you know, electric and everything. Nothing's convenient and it's expensive. And so I said, and he knew nobody here in Atlanta. I said, what if we had a co-living community here in Atlanta and you could, you know, save several hundred dollars in a two bedroom apartment? You know, all the conveniences are right there. You don't have to get your cable. You don't have to get your internet. You don't have to get your power. You just move in and it's ready to go. Maybe it's furnished. Maybe there's a furniture package. You know, that said, you might get paired up with a roommate. And he was like, well, I don't know anybody here. And I actually would embrace being paired up by a roommate so I can get to know somebody. And then, you know, maybe that opens up a network for me, you know, and a friendship network and all that. So, you know, yeah, to your point, there are people that this doesn't fit, but there are a lot of people that it does, not only from a, you know, community or friendship networking standpoint, but from a economic standpoint.
Now, is this something that you think can help with affordable housing?
I do. I mean, it's expensive for a young professional coming right out of college who's getting their first job to, they want to live in the city and they want to live in Buckhead and they want to live in Midtown and, you know, these areas. And honestly, most everything that's getting built these days is Class A. Look around. I mean, there's a real need for, you know, affordable and workforce housing everywhere in this country right now. What I would tell you is that these are Class A communities. Just we're able to build them a little bit more efficiently. They're a little bit, you know, when I say efficiently, I mean, we're more concerned with the efficiency of the space versus the space itself. So when I say that, you know, if you look at a conventional deal, you might have a, you know, 1200 square foot two bedroom. Ours might be 800 square feet, right? So we can build it more efficiently. And so at the end of the day, the way I look at co-living is it's almost like workforce housing for this young professional group. And I would say that target age in there is probably 25 to 35. And then, you know, you're going to have some older, you're going to have some younger, and that's who we're kind of targeting and looking to attract.
Now, can you educate me about affordable housing? Because I never understand how the math of this works, because if you're building something affordably, aren't people going to want to kind of live there? And then isn't it going to appreciate in value because more people want to live there, and then it becomes non-affordable anymore?
So I'm not an affordable housing expert, Lee. I hate to tell you that, but I will tell you that there are income restrictions to affordable housing, right? And that there are rent caps on affordable housing. So, not all affordable house. So there are communities out there that are market rate communities where only a percentage of their units are affordable. And then you've got some communities that are all affordable, and it's kind of a, you know, it's a math equation between, you know, your average income levels and your rent caps. And some of that is, you know, subsidized. And so I'm not an expert on that. So, I'm probably the wrong person to give you a great answer.
But somehow this co-living is going to fit into this. Or is this just an example of a way to make housing more affordable if you use this model of co-living?
I would agree. Yes. I'd say that, you know, this is a way to make housing more affordable.
Now, how has the pandemic impacted? Has building kind of slowed or stopped, or is people kind of seeing sprouting there that there's opportunity now that the pandemic seems to be waning, or hopefully will wane shortly?
Yeah, I don't know. Waning. I feel like it's going up, even though we have a vaccine. I hope it wanes. You know, right now, multifamily is still pretty strong. The market's pretty strong. I think there's You know, there's capital out there for multifamily. So I think people are building, knowing that, hey, we've got to get through this pandemic and it's coming and we just got to be patient. I think that, you know, your absorption levels are probably a little bit, you know, lower than they typically would be just because people are, you know, not getting out and about as much. They aren't going, you know, they aren't going on tours as much. They're just being a little bit careful. People are staying in their apartments. They aren't moving as much. But I think all of that's going to, you know, we're going to right that ship here pretty soon. To your point, you know, we've got the vaccine. Hopefully it's, this thing's waning down and we can, you know, by summertime, you know, we're back to some, or a greater sense of normalcy than we are now.
Now, for you moving forward, what is the biggest challenge? Like, what do you need more of?
What do I need more of? That's a
right. So are you looking for more renters? Are you looking for more deals? Like what does Mallory and Evans need right now?
You know, right now we've got a great pipeline. I'm always looking for more, you know, new opportunities and more deals. You know, we're fortunate to have very good capital relationships, both on the debt and equity side. But, you know, we're always looking for new partners on that side. You know, and I think overall, I think we all want to, you know, see this vaccine work and the country get back to that sense of normalcy that I think we're all craving right now. And I think that'll, you know, that'll not only keep us going, but there should be a pretty good kickstart to 2021.
Now, do you see, is Atlanta still an attractive place to move to? Are you seeing a lot of people moving to the metro Atlanta area?
Well, I mean, to be honest, all the research and what we've been hearing is there is, you know, there's the suburbs is really the hot place. I still think Atlanta and you know, and metro Atlanta is fine. You know, the young professional is going to want to be there. It's you know, if you're young, you want to be in there. But I do think that there has been a flight to suburbia over the last, you know, probably 6 months or so. So you're seeing a lot of new building in the suburbs.
And if somebody wants to learn more about Mallory and Evans, what is the way to get a hold of you or somebody on your team?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, www.me-dev.com. And my contact information is on there and I'd love to hear from you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today, man.
I appreciate it, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.